two crazy porks who host a show. They give relationship advice that you ought to know. Your thirst for entertainment, they will quench, cause Stephanie's a darling and Mike is a mensch. Pork therapy, advice this good is a rarity. It's cool, fun, and introspective. Relationship talk from a liberty perspective. Oh, and did I mention you can leave a message, you can voice a question, a joke, a comment, or something more at 419-PT-LOVE-4. Pork therapy, scatolydibop, shabadooey. You'll revel in hilarity. It's pork therapy.
Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
Oh, I'm wonderful. How
Yay,
are you?
I'm Mike.
Well, that means you're wonderful.
Yay.
And I'm Stephanie, and we're pork therapy. Indeed. And we talk about relationships from a voluntarist perspective because that's what we are.
Yep.
Voluntarists, and we have relationships, don't we?
Everyone has relationships. As a matter of fact, everyone's voluntary too. They just don't all know it.
That's true. And most people, I think, do follow voluntarist principles in their lives, which is not initiating force or fraud. And I think the vast majority of people do that the vast majority
That's
of the
true.
Time,
I mean,
unless they happen to work for the government, in which case they're doing it on a daily basis.
Yeah, but nothing is fine. Nothing is everything. Like, you know, even people who are voluntarists sometimes lie.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
And even people who work for the government are voluntary in their personal relationships, usually.
Most of the time, yeah.
So. Okay, so that's us.
Thanks for diminishing my point, Mike.
My pleasure.
I'm just kidding. It was a good point. So, yeah, anyway, you can go to our website, porctherapy.com, which has a new look ever since we switched our server
right.
over. It's not, I'm not saying it's a good look, but it is a new look.
Yes. It's not horrible, but it's also not done.
Yeah. So if you have any suggestions, or if you're by some miracle, some wildly talented web designer who wants to do some free labor for us, just
actually, we
let
just
us
need
know.
A WordPress theme that's
yeah
appropriate. That'd be awesome.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
But,
okay.
Yeah. Enough of our website woes. We have an actual topic for tonight.
Right. And it's not really a question. It's more like a rant.
Right.
And so what is this?
Well,
is it a proverb?
We had written something down. I think it's just a meme.
Okay,
I would just call it a meme.
Yeah.
And what is a meme? A meme is like an idea that propagates itself through culture. And the phrase was coined by Richard Dawkins in The Selfish Gene. And he was comparing ideas to genes and how they are selected for or against kind of by a natural market process. So I would say that this phrase is a meme. And the phrase is, if it's old, it's good.
Yes. And I would say, I don't know if I would call it a meme because it's more subconscious than that.
Mm-hmm.
It pervades industries, you know? It's in religion. It's in tradition. Tradition for the sake of tradition.
It's in families.
It's in family. It's in government.
It's in government schools.
It's in everything.
So
no one actually goes around saying, well, if it's old, it's good. But they
a
believe
lot of
it.
People subconsciously act by that principle.
Yes.
By using old things or preferring old things or refusing to change and adopt new ideas and new things.
And we don't mean, at least I don't think we mean old like, well, when we were a kid, we believed this, or I'm not going to use that computer. It's 10 years old. Mm-hmm. I mean old like, you know, 5,000 years ago in China, they practiced medicine by doing this. And so it's got to be good. And we're going to do it today. And
right.
the doctors are all wrong.
Right.
What?
No.
Or, you know, what else? You know, government's always existed, so it must be there for a purpose. It must be good.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, or have you ever heard the phrase, they just don't make things like they used to?
Yeah.
It's all those cheap foreign Chinese stuff taking our jobs
wow.
or something.
They just don't make them like they used to. No, that's because they make them cheaper with more technology, better, faster.
Yeah, and because the reason that they make things sometimes not as high quality, but cheaper, is because people don't tend to repair things anymore. They tend to replace them with a newer version that's less obsolete.
Because it costs so little, because they can make it cheaper and faster with technology.
Exactly. And because the technology is increasing at a rapid pace and people don't want the old version.
Right.
They want the new version that can do more
that's
things.
That's true. That's very true. I would also just abstract that and say, because there's a market.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they make
yeah.
things cheap and let's just even say crappy that'll fall apart, and, mm-hmm. because people will buy them. They yeah. also make very expensive high-end ones, and fewer people buy them because they cost more.
Do you want your iPhone to last 25 years?
Hell no. In fact, I don't even want my iPhone anymore, but that's a whole other story. But no, no one wants the very best cell phone they can possibly right. imagine having to last 25 years, because exactly. that would be ludicrous.
Yeah.
And yet, those are not even made crappily.
Right.
Or at least not the high-end ones.
Right. They're made pretty high quality.
Yeah.
But at the same time, they're quite disposable. You know, they're used for a few years, and usually then people yep. get a new phone, yep. new cell phone.
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
If it's old, it's good. I don't understand it. Here's another take on that. Tradition for the sake of tradition, which is my personal phrase. I hate it.
Mm.
I stopped participating in Christmases with my family
mm-hmm.
because every year it got, you know, as I got older each year, I just noticed more and more there was more arguments, there was more unhappiness and unjoy at the event. And I just, yeah. I'll see them when I want to see them, but I don't need to go to that event anymore.
Yeah.
And they were all upset. It's Christmas. We see each other once a year. And I said, well, really? Why? Why don't you guys see each other more? Why don't you have a celebration in June and we can go to the beach? Why does it have to be during Christmas when it's really commercial and traffic is hard and really expensive and no one can get time off work and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
And they didn't have answers. They just, that's the way it's always been done. That's the way we got to do it.
Right.
Why? I don't get it.
Yeah. I like to tell the story a lot when we talk about tradition of, a lot of people probably know this joke, but basically there's a woman, and of course this joke contains a little bit of sexism too, but bear with me. There's there's a woman in the kitchen and she's cutting up.
And she's barefoot and pregnant, but that's yeah. not, no.
It's incidental to the joke. And she's cutting up a pot roast and she slices 2 inches of it off the end and puts it in a pan and bakes it. And so her daughter says, well, why did you cut 2 inches off the end? And she said, well, because that's what my mother did. And the daughter says, well, why? And so the woman calls up her mother and says, well, hey, mom, why'd you cut up 2 inches off the pan of the pot roast all the time? And she said, well, that's because that's what my mother did. And then so they call up the grandmother.
Who was remarkably still alive.
Amazingly, yeah. There's 4 generations of people. So they call up the grandmother and she says, oh, I just did that because my pan wasn't big enough to fit the whole thing.
Yeah.
So you got to always question the reason
yeah,
why you're doing anything.
That's precise definition of tradition for tradition's sake, because
yeah.
the origin had a reason for doing this.
Yes.
And everyone else did it because they didn't even know why. They were
right.
just doing it. That's just ridiculous. They were wasting food, throwing away 2 inches of chicken or whatever it was, turkey.
Yeah.
Because, and they didn't even know why.
Yeah. And a lot of traditions end up like that. They start off usually for a good reason.
Probably.
Like, for instance, probably back when most of schools were not government schools, but they were private schools and they were voluntarily funded and they were...
Voluntarily attended.
Voluntarily attended. Yeah, not day prison for kids.
Yeah.
They were people sent their kids there because they cared about their kids and they wanted their kids to get an education. The schools would let out for the summer because that was when the harvest was happening.
Right.
Right? Because most kids worked on the farm. Nowadays, very few kids work on farms anymore. And you could also even argue that that's a good thing because, you know, a lot of kids don't want to be working on farms. They're maybe doing that a little bit involuntarily or because that's the only choice that they had if they wanted to eat.
Right. But
now that our standard of living has improved, we still have government schools that let out during the summer just because that's always been the way that it's
that's
been
right.
done.
It's ridiculous.
And what about the government schools starting at 7 o'clock in the morning?
And ending
for
at
high
3.
Yeah. Why is that?
Right during commute hours, right when everyone needs to be doing other things, you know, drop
yeah.
off your kid or get to work. Well, now I have to adjust the schedule. It's horrible.
Yeah.
And for that matter, as far as tradition for tradition's sake, what about the existence of government?
Yes, I think that's the big one that we wanted to get to.
Yeah.
I mean, it's... I think it's little easier to start off by questioning
yeah.
smaller things.
Yes,
why do I visit my family at Christmas? Why do I slice 2 inches off my pot roast? Why do I care if my cell phone doesn't last more than a couple of years? It's a little bit easier to get at those questions than to get at the very fundamental question of why do we need government?
Yeah.
Right? Just because it's been done for several hundreds or thousands of years even. I mean, I don't know, even know when the history of the first government would be, but I'm sure as long as people have existed, there have been people who try to control others using aggression and force. And I think that's really something that human beings can have the capacity to move beyond. Just like we move beyond violence, tribal warfare, racism, clan lifestyle, where you only associate with people who look like you because
right.
they're from your family. I mean, just as we've evolved past those things, I think we can just as easily evolve past the fear of existing without government,
meaning humanity in general, will eventually.
Yes.
I don't know when.
I hope it'll be in my lifetime, and that's part of the reason why I do this show with you, to try to expose more people to the ideas of voluntarism and to open people's minds to questioning some of the things that maybe
questioning traditions for tradition's sake.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Well, I want to interrupt because a minute ago you said, I don't know when government started and or how or whatever, but you made some assumptions. And I know that Brett Vinat of School Sucks Project also doesn't know because he's our age and not thousands of years old. But
really?
But I just happened to listen to an episode of his. It's about a year old. It's called The Natural State. And he does a 5-ish minute parody discussion about how governments would have started. And then he actually finishes off the show, which is maybe another 30 minutes talking about it. And it's fantastic. I love the episode.
Cool.
So, you know, it's a very, very probable idea of how governments started and why they continue to exist. And it is not because it's a good idea and we should keep it going. It's essentially, if it's old, it's good.
Wow.
It's slightly different than that, but
yeah,
it's just amazing.
Well, I mean, it really only takes one generation, right? There's this classic libertarian argument or example of think of things like space travel and schools and roads. Think of those things as what if the government provided shoes or haircuts?
Right.
You know, the free market provides those things, or groceries. Yeah. I mean, now anyone can walk into a grocery store and essentially anyone can afford food, and the few who can't have assistance from private charities, and you could say food stamps and stuff like that, but a lot of people get those who don't really need them, and the people who do really need them sometimes have trouble getting them.
Yep.
That's a whole different story. Let's just imagine for a minute that government provided haircuts. There would be basically one haircut for everyone, no matter who they are or what kind of hair they have, and there really wouldn't be the diversity that the free market has to fill all these different niches and meet all these different needs of a diverse group of people.
It's not even a ridiculous example. In communist Russia, there were lines for bread because government supplied food and they couldn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
They could not predict what the market would want and how much.
They couldn't even get one simple thing, which is bread, which is cheap and easy to make.
It's just horrible.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So back to this example. Imagine if the government provided haircuts and everybody was getting the same Maoist haircut. Mike, you would look great with a bowl cut, by the way.
Let me show you some pictures of me as a kid.
And at first, people would probably be complaining, oh, you know, where's our salons and where's our professional haircutters and what are all these government haircuts? They really suck and they're overpriced and we get stolen from to pay for. And, you know, within one generation, kids would have grown up and the only thing they've experienced is the government haircuts. And pretty soon, people would be saying, wow, what would we do without government? How would anyone get haircuts? There's no way anyone would ever have haircuts if the government didn't exist.
Right.
And so it's really just getting people used to an inferior product that's provided at the point of a gun in every instance with government. And pretty soon, after a few generations of not having the marketplace provide that service, people start to think, well, how would that ever get provided if it weren't for the government? So just a little thing to think about. And Mike is pulling up a video here.
Have you seen this?
Yes, I have seen this.
This is an excellent 2-minute video.
Yeah.
Of
less than 2 minutes.
Yeah, of an experiment done with monkeys. I guess should we summarize it or just tease it?
Sure.
Okay. Basically, let's see what they say right here. Maybe this is a good tease. Yeah. Start with a cage containing 5 monkeys. This story illustrates how human society keeps doing the same things over and over again because that's the way things have always been done around here.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a summary of a scientific experiment that explains it. But to me, it's actually frightening.
Yeah.
It's just frightening to realize it's just that simple.
Yeah.
That's why governments exist. That's why people worldwide continue to think governments are good. It is good to continue hurting people. Just amazing.
So do you think that that willingness to accept things that are old or have been in institutions that have been in place for a long time, do you think that stems from a need for consistency or order or predictability or something like that?
Well, a need, sure. But also, first of all, it's hard to say when you're talking about collectives. If you were talking about a person, we could probably narrow down the need that's not being met. But if you're talking about a collective of 300 million people or 6 billion people, who knows? I mean, it could be 50,000 needs that aren't being met.
Oh, sure. Of course.
I would say probably, I would guess, totally guess, that the need that's not being met by this collective that requires government is security.
Mm-hmm.
Or they're afraid
predictability, maybe, I would say.
It could be. Okay.
Already
security. We can't decide.
Yeah, safety, security.
Safety.
Well, they're all kind of in the same in the same realm. People want to know that they will be provided for, and they want certainty about their future.
Yeah, I was trying to word that into a need, because I would call it laziness if people don't want to have to save their own money and pay for their own health care, and if people don't want to have to educate their kids, they want to just have it done for them, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. But what need isn't being met that makes them want this stuff? Is it, I mean, would they feel inadequate if they had to provide it themselves? That's not a need. That's like an anti-need. But
I think they think that having government does meet that need, although they may not be realizing that they're meeting that need in a very costly way. Because in order to meet that need for safety, security, consistency, predictability, what have you, they're violating other people's natural rights.
But,
and they're accepting the premise that it's okay to steal from people in order to meet their needs. But they're just not thinking about the stealing.
That's true. But it's not entirely true, because security. If their need for security demands a government, well, their government steals from them. They're not being secure. It's like that one's self-contradictory.
Well, that's because the government has trained them not to think of taxation as theft and not to think of, you know, police enforcing victimless crimes as hurting people.
Yeah.
You know, people go through so many mental gymnastics and jump through so many hoops to ignore the aggression that's present in
the gun in the room.
To ignore the gun in the room. Exactly. And, you know, I guess in a strange and perverse way, government has done a good job of that, de-educating people to not see the violence inherent in their behavior. But I guess that's what we're trying to do on this show, and, you know, all the other people who are trying to spread the ideas of liberty are trying to bring that gun in the room to light and show people that they can meet their needs for safety, security, being provided for, having their basic food, water, shelter, that kind of thing met, without the need to hurt other people or to use force or to endorse force in any way. And that's what we're all about as voluntarists, right, Mike?
I would think so.
Yeah.
And that, ironically, is older than the tradition of having a government.
Mm-hmm.
Because a government didn't exist before humans.
Oh, yeah. Humans cooperating on a voluntary basis is older
than
the
oldest idea. But I don't like this idea because it's old. Mm-hmm. I like it because it makes sense. It's healthy. It's progressive. It's the right thing to do, morally, the right thing to do, as far as you'll get more done more efficiently if everyone involved is voluntary than if there's force involved.
Mm-hmm.
So back to the topic of the show, if it's old, it's good. I can't say it's always wrong, but it's irrelevant.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If it's good, it's good. If it's old, it's old. The two may sometimes overlap.
Yeah, but not always.
No.
So, in the meantime, this has been Pork Therapy.
Thanks for listening to our new show.
If you want to... exactly. And as it gets older, it's just going to get better and better. But if you want to listen to all of our old shows, you can go to porctherapy.com. And also on our website, you can find out how to email us, right, Mike?
You can email or call us and record your questions or send us your questions about any kind of relationship. Anytime you associate with another person, that's a relationship.
Absolutely.
You have any conflicts or questions, send them.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. And in our last episode, we just talked about applying the non-aggression principle to romantic relationships. In this episode, we talked about traditionalism and kind of questioning those ideas and how it applies to a voluntary society. So lots of interesting material. And of course, if you like our show, you can always go to Facebook, find us on Facebook and Twitter, and follow our tweets and our Facebook statuses.
Stati.
And you can, as Mike said before, you can always email us questions at porktherapy.com or call us 419-PT-LOVE-4. And we always love to hear your feedback. And we do appreciate your donations if you care to make them.
That's right. And we do the show because we find this information extremely important.
Mm-hmm.
The more people that exist voluntarily, the better, you know, humanity as a whole will be.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly the better those people will be.
Mm-hmm.
So if you think this is important stuff, Share it with your friends, share it with your lovers, share it with your whomever people you associate with.
Mm-hmm. Or share it with people you don't like.
Yeah, that's a good point. Say, maybe
share it with your status family.
Yeah. Send them a link or listen to it with them or something like that.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Yep, and we'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye. They're two crazy porks who host this show. They give relationship advice that you ought to know. Your thirst for entertainment, they will quench. Because Stephanie's a darling and Mike is a mensch. Pork therapy. Advice this good is a rarity. It's cool, fun, and introspective. Relationship talk from a liberty perspective. Oh, and did I mention you can leave a message, you can voice a question, a joke, a comment, or something more at 419-PT-LOVE-4.